As you may know, this week, people are talking about, this week was camp meeting. And Lisa was putting together this music stuff for camp meeting. And all the LaFont girls, Glenna, Barb, Karen, and Julie. Did I get them in order? And Amy joined them. So the four of them were going to sing, and then they got Amy to join them, and they sang at camp meeting on one of the nights. And so what I found out through camp meeting was that they sang there for camp meeting, and they've now decided today they're going to sing over at Gales Creek. So the three families, 15 or whatever of them, have all gone to Gales Creek. And then there are other people who are going to be gone. Now, next week, they'll be here singing. So, you know, we trade 15 for one or something like that, you know. And what I had done was I had actually scheduled to have some guest missionary speakers, the Kemmers. Some of you might remember the Kemmers. They were in Tanzania for a while. And they found out that there's a tree there. It's called a merengue tree. And they'll give us more information about it. And you can grind up the seeds from that. And if you pour muddy water through it, it'll come out crystal clear, clean, drinkable. And so now they're expanding that. They're no longer in Tanzania. They're moving down south somewhere. And so I had them scheduled to come today and speak. And I called them yesterday after finding out that all these people are going to be gone and said, hey, they're not going to be here. A bunch of the families are going to be gone and the attendance will be down a little bit. So we decided to move them to next week. And then Pastor John and I frantically got together and said, what are we doing tomorrow? And so Pastor John graciously said he would do his Ephesians series. So he runs home to do Ephesians to get it ready because he wasn't ready. And then I came in and told the worship team what was going on, and they said, well, let's change it. And they had all this great stuff planned, and they're going to do things, and now I'm up here. We all know what we're doing. But a lot of this comes during camp meeting, and John Edward, can you pass these out to people? Some of you may already have these in camp meeting. On the last day, they passed out a yellow form or had these yellow forms that you could get, and a bunch of you might have them. And so what we're going to do is those of you who are at camp meeting, we expect you to speak up. Then those of you who were not there, we expect you to catch on to what they're talking about and then speak up. And what we want to do is we just want to have kind of an informal discussion about camp meeting, and more specifically about Friday night. And some of you may know that a while back there was a discernment team that was put together. And the whole idea is finding out where the Church of God is at, and more specifically our Association of Oregon and Southwest Washington, which is 49 churches. Where are we at and where are we headed? And so the discernment team, they sent out a questionnaire. And we had it in the bulletins for a while, and you could all get online and fill out this questionnaire. And they were giving out free trips to, or free weekends to, the church with the most people who responded. And then the church with the highest per capita who responded. Now, if you know our church, we don't stand a chance against Vancouver First Church or Mount Scott or some of them. So I didn't get anything there. I didn't get one the other way either. There's one church in the association that has 10 members, and 9 of them filled out the survey. So they got 90%. That was Grady Phillips, his church. So that was that. But hopefully you filled in the information and did the survey. And the discernment team has now gotten that information and compiled it. And I have a real brief synopsis of it, and Pastor Frank and Pastor John has one. And then on Thursday morning, they presented their information to the Ministerial Association. We got together on Thursday morning for a couple hours, and they gave us that information. That information that I got on Thursday morning was the same information that you got on Friday evening. Now, I had not heard anything about it until that point in time. So, anybody want to share?
Combination of the Great Commission and the commandment, and what we've been talking about, mm-hmm. and what we are beginning to implement, and I think God is directing, and I think we need to go forward with what He's directed us to do, even though sometimes it might be discouraging, mm-hmm. because the way Pastor Dave put it was love God, love others, and tell the story.
That's right.
But it's the same thing in different words that you've said.
Yeah, the discernment team, which for our association, and they, what they said on Friday night was they were compiling this information, doing things. They found out what they found out was kind of the exact same thing that the national office found out about the church and where we're going and what the church is doing. And Pastor Dave actually has, and I'm going to talk to him. He has kind of a sermon that he's done on love God, love others, and then tell your story. And he would be more than willing. I'm going to talk to him and try to get it set up to have him come and share where he's at and where that is with us. Because Carol's right. That's exactly what we've been talking about. Let me tell you this much. It was a kind of a three-year plan that I had envisioned. 2012 was what? Spiritual disciplines, which is love God. We're going to take this year and work on spiritual disciplines and how to love God. Then 2013 was love others, which is what we were doing with the love others, what was in here, and that servant leadership development. And then 2014 was the reach the world, was to reach out, and we were going to go out beyond these walls and do whatever God called us to. Somehow we're doing it now. So we've done this accelerated program, and I think what it is it's hard to love God and not reach out. You just kind of have to. It just flows from that. So that's some of where we're at. I thought it was really cool to hear Pastor Dave stand up there and do that. And I'm sitting in the meeting that I have on Thursday, and I'm sitting in there, and they're talking. I'm going, that's exactly what we're doing. I mean, that's right in line with what we're talking about. So other people. It is a God thing. Yes, it is. Now, I will let you know, I am recording this. Okay, and I know most of us don't like talking into microphones and stuff. That's why I put this one on. I am recording it so that I can go back and listen to it later on. Because some of your thoughts and your ideas, I will guarantee they don't sink in right here, right now, because of where my mind is and things like that. So I need to listen to them later on. So if you're going to speak, use a microphone. We can run around and get them to you. Other thoughts? I have notes, if nothing else. But other thoughts. What did you think of it? What stuck out with you? And before you speak, let me or Pastor John, not Pastor John, John Edward, you're in trouble.
Two people today that have almost said that.
I've already said it twice. Let John or myself know, and we'll get a microphone to you. Yeah, it's a sign. There you go.
After what we did last Sunday, what are your thoughts and plans for what we're going to do next? For the community.
For the community?
Or,
well,
yes.
It is just reaching on and find out what our community wants us to do. And I want to implement that at least once a month. And we've got it for the 3 months of summer and then extending it from there. And that's what God calls us to do. And I'm not sure if I'm answering your question. I'll try to get to it. When you hear evangelism, what do you think of? Lisa says a big thing. What? Billy Graham, okay. Okay, if you were to go out and evangelize, what are you doing? Now I got all of you going, telling my story, preaching. What you're really trying to do when you go out and you evangelize is you're trying to make somebody become a Christian. Now we can get into all those things. We can't do anything. It's the Holy Spirit. I understand that. But that's evangelism. More and more churches are going where we're abandoning evangelism and going missional, which means we are going to go into our community and find out what we can do for them. And it's not for the sole purpose. It's not for saying we're going to try to make you a Christian. We're going to see what we can do for you and then let the Spirit work. And somewhere down the line, as the Spirit leads and guides, then maybe they will. So it's not when I was in junior high, there was a thing out there. Some of you may know it, the 4 spiritual laws. A little booklet, and we used to go and pass this out to people and go over with them. Now we go into somebody's lives and say, hey, what can I do for you? And so that's missional. More and more churches become missional, and it expands even beyond that. What it means is taking our ministry house and finding 2 or 3 families who are willing to move into our neighborhood, move into the community, and live at that house together. And then from that point, live in this community and to reach out. Now, I'm not saying we're doing that, okay? But there are churches, there are people who are doing that. And that is saying that if we are committed to this community, we're going to find out whatever it takes to reach this community, whatever that is. So that was missional. And so my vision, my goal is if we're going to reach this community, then we're going to do things like we did on Sunday, where we go out and we reach the community at whatever it takes. If it's passing out sack lunches, and then I'm thinking, as we get into the winter, how are we ever going to mow yards in the middle of winter? But you know what? In the middle of winter is when the street people, they need the food more than ever. Or blankets if we can get them, or whatever it is. And so we will have to change what we're doing as we get into the winter months. And so it's once a month now. Maybe if it develops the way it goes, maybe every single Sunday there'll be at least two or three or four of us who are going out. And if nothing else, sack lunches. Michael's probably out doing it right now. He does it every single week, either on Saturday or on Sunday. And he does it out of his own pocket. I even said, well, tell me what it costs for you to put those sack lunches together, and we'll pay you from our missions budget stuff. He says, I want to cover it this time. And he's been doing it for 3, 4, 5 years. Every single week, he goes out and passes out lunch. And he may be out there right now praying with people. So, I don't know if that answers your question, Sterling, or not, or...
did this and it was exhilarating, that experience, and what I'm asking you, what you got something on your mind, man. You got something what else we can do besides because there are a couple of people hey, partner, what's your name again?
Mike.
Mike. He was there. There's a couple of people where I had a kind of a feeling that maybe there's a little bit of a chance they might join us.
Okay.
But most of them.
But if we go out again, then maybe there's another chance, a greater chance that they'll join us and go out again. Yeah, I know. Come in and join the congregation. Those people out there that we pass our lunches to, and you tell them, hey, we're from Richmond Community Church. We're on the corner of 40th and Division. Somewhere down the line, after we've reached out to these people, somewhere along the line, after we've told them who we are, we've mowed their yard for a year or whatever, they might step foot in this building. Maybe. We don't know.
Maybe.
And
all we can do is pray for them, right?
What?
All we can do is pray for them to have that.
That's right. All we can do is pray for them. And the honest truth, it comes out wrong, but I'm going to say anyway. I don't care if they come to this church or if they go to another church. It's not this building. We are not the kingdom.
Amen.
We are only part of it. And that's what made the church of God so special when it first started. Mike, you're going to need a microphone if you're going to talk. John Edwards running for you.
That was one thing that came out the last night when they're going through this list, is they were using an analogy of a car. You know, the gauges kind of tell you what's going on. Your main vision's out your front window, you know, where we need to go. And then also looking in the rearview mirror. And I'd heard something this year that I haven't heard in past years, looking a little bit of our formation. The fact is, just what you're saying, we're not a church dedicated to the building of the Church of God of, you know, with offices in Anderson, Indiana. We're dedicated to the proposition of building God's kingdom, the church as a whole. Now, we do so in this organized little group, which defines us as a denomination, but we are a denomination with one of our precepts being non-denominationalism.
Yeah.
Which makes us the reason... I heard this years ago. I don't know how many people know. The reason we refer ourselves as the Church of God with offices in Anderson, Indiana, is because we don't want to say we are this big central power. We have to, and there's other churches of God. So we find ourselves defining ourselves as, well, we have to define ourselves versus this other Church of God. So we'll just say we're the one with the offices over there in Anderson, Indiana.
Yeah.
But the reason we do that is because we are dedicated to the concept of we want you to become a follower of Christ. We're not so worried that you became a follower of Richmond Community Church or even the Church of God. I mean, we'd love to have you, obviously. But the fact is our real precept is that basic concept of evangelism where you give your heart to Christ and you follow him. Not necessarily follow him through this particular path, but follow him. And you don't normally hear that on these kind of things, and they did. They went through it a little bit. And it was the idea of looking through the rearview mirror. And by the way, another thing about our little analogy is the gauges when that guy got up and some sobering stuff that there is. The take-home part I got was that not just our church, but this part of the movement, the part in Oregon, Southwest Washington, they figure that attendance is down, was it about 25% in the last how many years?
About 5 years.
And, you know, I don't know how many people got to know Dave. He loves his charts. He really loves his charts. He is a chart guy. And he showed us a few charts. I mean, it was another gentleman that was doing it, but it was all the same group. They show the attendance, of course, going down. And you can guess what the giving revenue did in response. Any guess? It went down. But there's this yellow line that was going steadily upward. And I thought, well, that looks good. But what they were basically saying is they're using their savings up. Mm-hmm. Being part of a group that has to worry about savings and expenditures and getting through the month, that's spooky stuff. Once a group of that size doesn't have a certain amount of capital, it becomes a very dicey thing. And it is conceivable. One of the reasons that they did this year was they see this coming. They know that the amount of things they're doing, one of the things on here is reducing the amount, number of events and programs requiring coordination. That is partly because they consider themselves top-heavy, I do believe. But it's also partly a reality that they can't have the expenditures without replacing it. And you can't live off your savings. Anybody on your own personal account knows you can't just live heavily off your savings and expect to have any savings. It really is a sobering thing. And I like the fact that they're responding not by going, well, we're really messed up. It's what do we have to do differently to get from where we see ourselves going to where we think God needs us to be? And it really did seem to be a fairly transparent thing.
Yeah.
Many groups that would face a crisis like this, the last thing they would do is get up and talk about at the podium. And I really think that is a good sign that they're saying, hey, here's exactly what we see, and here's exactly what we forecast, and here's what we want to do about it. And it gave me kind of a good feeling that, yes, we're in crisis, but hey, we're recognizing it. And we're not just moping and saying, well, what are we doing wrong? But we are saying, what do we need to do differently? What's our strengths? What's our distinctiveness? They use the word distinctive quite often.
Yes.
And the concept of the greater, you know, family of God is a good portion of that distinctiveness. Most churches, have maybe great people that are in it, they have a tendency to kind of say, this is the path you need to go and this is how it has to be. We're much more open about that. We really do talk about join the family of God. Don't necessarily join this church. We'd love to have you at this church, but seek God.
Right.
Take Christ, seek God. That is our central theme. And it gives me a good feeling that that is the center of it and not just this little closed-door panic session. And it is panic. It's a big thing. But I really think this is the way to address it.
Mm-hmm. We won't go into a lot of detail. I'll try to get through going along. They use a car as an analogy. And a young church or a young organization has certain people in. And we are an old organization as the Church of God. And if we're driving our car and we keep going, the car is heading off the cliff. And the things they talked about in the gauges, Mike mentioned the gauges, one was the attendance. The attendance of the Church of God is steadily declining. They talked about finances, and Mike mentioned that. Our association operates on about $250,000 a year for the whole association. And every year, the amount of money that the churches give to the association has steadily been going down. But the association has had money saved either through savings or charitable gifts, one-time gifts. And those are up. They're spending over $120,000. If they keep spending at the rate they're spending, they've got maybe 2 years. And the association has no money for anything. And so those are the gauges. A couple of the other things were there's a demographic shift with around the churches. Our churches do not meet the demographics of their neighborhood. And I'm sure we're one of them. And it's simply because of who we are and what we believe in those things. Another one, there are some cultural realities. And if you look around us, when we were at the parade yesterday in the street fair, there were a lot of people who were walking around with little blue stickers, and you may have noticed them or not, and they had the two little rings on talking about marriage. It was sponsored by the LGBT. Some of you are looking at me. Lesbian, gay, bi, transgenders. Okay, whether you agree with it or not, I mean, that's there. I personally don't like the idea. Okay, I'm not going to get, never mind. But oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a guy walking up and down who was trying to get people to fill out voter registration forms so that they could vote on passing gay marriage. He's walking around in a skirt. Oh, you guys are lucky then. Maybe you're not lucky. But see, that's it. That's our community. That's where we live. That's these people here. So how do we reach out and love them and stuff? That's what it comes down to. So those are the gauges. The gauges tell us, and Pastor Frank mentioned earlier, that if we keep on the course that we are on, we are doomed. We are going to go straight off of a cliff. So to learn that, what we do is we look at our past and what are our distinctives, and they talked about that. And Pastor John, you may be better at this. Pastor Frank, you may be as well. I don't know, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know the distinctives. I don't know what makes the Church of God so distinct. Because where I grew up on Guam, we could care less about that stuff. I had friends who went to a Baptist church and other churches, and we met as an association. There's only one Church of God there. And if I'm going to have fellowship with other people, I'm going to have it with it didn't matter. Catholics, Episcopalians, Baptists, Methodists, we all got together and we had fellowship through sports leagues. So I don't care if you're Church of God or we have distinctives. Yeah. I do not agree with homosexuality. I believe that God stands against homosexuality, but he still loves them. And I am finding out how I can love a homosexual.
Okay. Yeah. Question answered.
Okay.
Now I can.
Yeah.
Because, well, we I don't think that our Lord would want us to have a hatred or anything against people.
No. It's not against the people. The Bible even says, God says, that homosexual acts are an abomination to him. They're detestable to him. Okay? And so somehow, I need to figure out how I can love them. And I have a nephew who is homosexual. I have a... That's right. Well, but accepting them is part of loving them. It doesn't mean I have to accept and I have to like what he does. But I still have a conversation with him. And I'm still his uncle, and he and I hang out stuff. And what can I do to show them Christ's love? I have a very good friend that I grew up in high school. We were buddies. And he was in the ministry, and now he's homosexual. Yeah. He is right now and stuff. But, you know, he was the pastor of a church. But I don't know that he was always. And so, I mean, we can get in this great big long discussion on it. I think that homosexuality is wrong. But everything I can read in the Bible says it's wrong. But those people, God still loves them. And even if they were the only ones on earth, Jesus Christ would have still come down and died for them because he loved them that much. And if he loves them, then somehow I have to love them. And I'm figuring out how to do that. That's right. And so that's what I'm working on. That's right. John's frantically trying to run around.
Yeah, I do. But Jesus, back in Matthew 25, has given the Church of God, Richmond Community, their vision, and we may not even realize that it was directed to it, but it's what we're already doing. He said, I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And then it goes down and it says, for I tell you, just as you have done it to one of the less of these, you've done it to me. And that's what this church is doing mm-hmm. and has done for many years. We are following what Jesus taught, mm-hmm. and that is the vision. And we caught it before a lot of other churches caught it.
Have a long conversation about what makes the Church of God distinctive. And a century and a half ago, being evangelical and being holiness made us distinctive.
Yes.
Because churches back then, it was how much you put in the offering plate was where you sat in the congregation and had seats named after you and guaranteed your grandchildren are going to go to heaven too. And the Church of God, Warner, and other, there were others out there. There was a huge awakening during that time. And that made that distinctive, and the people who were in that said, whoa, 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 that's not how we do church. And so I think it's less so today because there's more acceptance that, you know, the church is about a relationship. And yesterday, driving here from where we live, we passed a couple churches that were doing things outside on their parking lots because they knew there were a lot of people roaming around the neighborhood. One was having a yard sale, and one was having a car wash. They were both fundraisers. And there's nothing wrong with fundraisers, but it's like, oh, there's lots of people. Let's see if we can raise some money. Compared to what we did was, we know there's lots of people. Let's see what we can do to share God's love. Free bounce house, free popcorn, free water. I mean, you know, we weren't selling water as a fundraiser. We were giving it away. We spent our own money. We bought water.
We did.
Yes,
we brought in about $15.50 because people had to give us something. And it was tough because they go, here, how much it costs? It's free. Well, I want to give you something. And we're telling them, no, we don't want it, but they want to give it to us.
But that's different than us asking for it.
That is correct. And what some of that comes down to is we were doing that. We were passing out water and popcorn in the bounce house so that we could be a blessing to people out there. And as they come through and we can be a blessing. When they want to give us something in return for the gratitude, if we continually say no, 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 we are denying them the opportunity to bless us the way that we are trying to bless them. So some of them, you know, it was a dollar. I think somebody gave us $5. You know, there were four or five of them who were there. And so we raised $15.50. It's in the offering plate. I know I put it there. That was not the goal. But it is a thing that comes there. Pastor John, here, when they were talking about distinctives, imagine looking in the rear of a mirror. When you look in the mirror, what you see behind you. Here were some of the things that made us as a Church of God distinct. We were a movement with a defining message. And they did. They went out and they were telling people, come out of denominationalism because God wants us all to be part of the body of Christ. Okay? We were a movement that existed to make disciples. Now, making disciples, we can get off. We got months and months of material that we cover here. We existed to make a disciple. Basically, conversion is something that happens at one moment. But salvation and the whole process of it, or sanctification, is a lifetime process. And that's the process of holiness. That's the holiness movement. Another thing they said was, we as a church, we are only part of the kingdom. Okay? And that made us distinct because a lot of the churches, they were themselves. And that was either you attended this church or you weren't going to heaven. There are all a bunch of other churches that people are attending today, and they get to go to heaven as well, not just us. Okay? And the last one they had is that our faith should shape every facet of our lives. If we truly believe that Jesus Christ loves us and died for us, then everything we do should be centered and geared and work around that. And that's holiness. Everything we do, at work, at home, anything we do should work itself around that. They said those were distinctives. But somewhere along the way, we've lost them. We've decided to become some generic Christian organization, just like everybody else. We've lost our distinctives. Somehow we need to get back to what we see in the rearview mirror, get back to our distinctives as we continue to look forward. Anybody else? Yes, Melanie. Oh! Okay, Kelly, you can go right after Melanie then.
I think what the warning signs that we're seeing is God's 2x4.
Okay.
Smacking us all upside the head to warn us that we have stepped away from what he wants us to do and that our goal is to go out and meet people where they are and we quit doing that. We stayed inside our little comfy houses. We stay inside our little comfy church. And so the financial issues are what God used to warn us, smack us upside the head. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we're losing a lot of our young people, is we haven't been willing to change to where they are now. Not that we need to accept the things that they do, but we're a little too judgmental.
Okay.
Of where the young people are, and God's using his 2x4 to smack us upside the head and say, wake up.
Okay. Kelly?
Well, that was kind of some of the same thing I was just going to mention, because, you know, Pastor Frank mentioned the statistics given on the age of our churches that we have and how many folks are in the little bit older category. I'm one of them. but being willing to really focus on our youth, and they're going to do things differently than we've ever done, and we have to be willing to kind of go with that flow and learn how that is, because they're out there. I mean, Frankie gets out there and talks to people that would scare me to death to be out talking to, but he's reaching these people, and, you know, it's getting outside the walls, and, you know, we see dwindling numbers of kids in here, but that doesn't mean they're not out there actually talking to people. You know, we've seen, if you're on Facebook, numerous times you see these kids getting in discussions, deep theological discussions on Facebook with some of their friends over things, and they're hearing, they're listening, and they're learning. They just do things different. They're not in need of the traditional building that we've always had. And with the analogy of the car, and I don't remember whether he said that or I've read it, but the reason that the rear view mirror is smaller than the windshield is, yes, you do need to see what's behind you, but that's not your main focus. The big view is, the big picture is, where do you go going forward? And mm-hmm. It has a lot to do with the youth and learning how they're reaching the world and going with that.
Yeah. As I was sitting in on the Thursday morning, and they were talking about that, something resonated with a couple things. But one of them was this. We're missing, say, our 20, upper 20s, 30s, and 40s. And I got to thinking, some of you are grandparents. Some of you have had your own kids. And I think as a church, as older people, we have, I don't know how to say it, because we have abandoned our kids, and yet we love our grandkids. Yeah, go ahead, because I have no idea where I'm going.
Actually, I got a couple of comments. With having been a product of the 60s, I watched The Words Hippie, which is an acronym, and I have no idea what that stands for. There was an evolution, and it was used originally very disdainfully by the youthful generation called yuppies, which is what young people, what the questing, seeking, question authority, grow up to be, which is responsible adults. Sure, young people are going to question, they're going to challenge, but when they mature, the fundamentals are still going to be there. So, a baby with the bathwater, sure, they're, as young people grow up, they're not going to revolutionize. They're going to confirm the foundation. I think it was Thursday afternoon, Deborah, and you'll have to help me with the names. I talked to you. Aaron?
Aaron Hillier.
Aaron Hillier and Larry?
Montag.
Okay, Larry Montag. We're in this conference, and what the conference was about was is really unimportant because what came up was Larry Montag was talking about some changes that happened in the Northwestern Church of God. And to be a glass half full about this, Larry said, yeah, we went through some changes. But his opinion, as opposed to careening off the edge of a cliff, mm-hmm. His view was that now the Northwest Church of God is doing more than it was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And not only that, but they're doing more with less funding.
Mm-hmm.
Just to like offset the pending disaster, there are some people who see actual improvement rather mm-hmm. than imminent destruction of the Church of God, Northwest Church of God.
Mm-hmm.
And in that discussion, it was both Aaron and Larry were confirming this. Maybe we're not in imminent. Maybe failure is not the only option.
Well, it's not, and I don't think they're trying to say that failure. We can see far enough. Said that's where we're headed, but and what they were saying is it's going to be an uphill climb. Everybody has to get involved in this. If we're doing this, then somewhere along the line, we have to put all of our energy, all of our effort into this, because if you got a car and you want to make the turn, you actually, at one point, you give it the gas, because then that will help you to make that turn. And that's what it's saying. That's ahead of us. That doom is ahead of us if we don't change. And the idea is somehow we have to change. And what this is, the yellow form or the white forms that you got, this is what the state association is talking about changing. These are some of the things they need to do to do that. Many of our churches have become country clubs and not life-saving stations. We're comfortable being here. But you know what that means? That means if we are a country club, I am now an activities director and not the head lifeguard. I always want to be a lifeguard. I don't want my sole job, my sole thing, to find these activities that you all like to do and try to plan them and program them. And do all this stuff. I want to be out saving lives. And so somehow there needs to be this shift that we now continue to become life-saving stations. And it's always resonated with me. Even more than that, if we are nothing more than country clubs, and I'm a lifeguard, the head lifeguard in this, imagine what Pastor Dave does. He oversees 49 churches that are country clubs, and he's more responsible than I am of being an activities director. Our state plans 13 different activities, and that's all they do. And so part of this in here, when it talks about restructuring the district council commissions and redefining the role of the district coordinator, he is now going to be able to, they're working on trying to start casting vision. You all tell me you want me to cast the vision for our church and where we're going. Well, he oversees all of us, and he starts casting this vision and casting this vision for me, and I see the vision and get along with him, and then you all get in line with that. And the weird thing is, it's almost going backward in our case, because the same thing he's seeing, the same thing he's talking about is the stuff that we're already doing, the stuff we're already headed. And if God can reaffirm us in reverse that what we're doing is okay, well, then it's pretty amazing that God's like that. Yes, Jim?
Okay.
With
respect to hate the sin and love the sinner,
uh-huh.
which is a debate that leads to confusion at best.
Yes.
At the conclusion. If you treat the world the way you treat your children, that's the best way you can do it. Anybody, of course, I'm a little emotionally involved right now because my granddaughter
yes.
Is making choices that I disagree with.
Okay.
But because I am a grandfather, I don't hate her.
Yeah.
I love her.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do that. It's not difficult. What I'm saying is that as we look at these other people's lifestyles, choices, how do we love them?
Mm-hmm.
Think of them as your grandchildren. And the problem is solved.
Yeah.
You can do this. It's not a big confusion thing.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not that difficult. Just love them. Okay? I think, this is just a personal opinion, I think that what's been happening with Richmond Church going from, I don't know, let me say financial ambiguity of having a budget that we missed by $40,000 every year, to one that we got to announce last year,
uh-huh,
that we actually finished the year in the black.
Yeah.
Because of God's leading us, that we will probably be the model that the Church of God is going to look to in the next 5 years.
It's possible. There are some other churches. One of them is Jess Hutchinson with Winding Road Church of God. They meet in house, and there's 20, 30 of them. Next year, they're working on taking their entire church on a missions field down to Mexico somewhere. Everybody, kids, everybody, all 30 of them are going down there. They meet on a Sunday morning when they meet, and they meet in the church and they take offering. Because they don't have the worry about the buildings and the bucks and stuff, they take their offering and they say, okay, what are we going to do with this today? And then they decide, okay, we're going to give it to Fish and Loaves and stuff like that. That's cool. We're not worried about the bodies, buildings, and bucks. We're kind of in the middle of it. And I'm sure the other churches, Pastor Dave's been noticing, other churches are noticing what we're doing and where we're going. And I think there are several of them that are going that way. Mike, you have something to say? We are quickly running out of time, so...
Well, a quick analogy from today. I think this list is sort of an attempt for the Church of God to start cleaning out his drawers a little bit and start to look more at what they really need to be doing. And when you start cleaning out your drawers, you find your deed.
You find your deed, exactly.
So I think this actually kind of bodes well. It shouldn't. It's an important thing. It's a kind of a scary thing. But I think they're acting the right way. Because when you do unload things, you find what's important and you find what you can get rid of.
Yeah.
And that's, I really think, what they're trying to do, and I think it's the right way to do it.
Okay. As we close, 5 E's. Okay, they're not on there. You can write them down if you want. The first one is to embrace. Transformation needs to take place. Okay, if we're going to have any kind of effectiveness with these young adults that we talk about, and we're going to let the church change, we have to embrace transformation of some kind. The church will always be the church, but it may not be the way we're used to it. And some of you, what you ought to do next year at camp meeting when they do that, take some evening and go to the youth worship time. I got to go there one night and spend an hour in worship with the youth. And to me, it's just an amazing thing to watch them. And they're moving around, praying with each other and doing things. It's awesome. If you get the chance, it may be cool. So the first one is to embrace. The second one is to evaluate. We have to evaluate the effectiveness of everything. Nothing should not be on the table. We should put Sunday school, any of the programs we do, any Bible studies, anything. Everything needs to be on the table and measure its effectiveness based upon what we believe God has called us to do. So everything. So embrace, evaluate. The second one is to establish. The third one is to establish. Somehow we have to establish. Pastor Frank, you need to get going? Okay. She needs to get going. We need to establish key milestones. Should we announce it in public? Sorry. We need to establish key milestones. As we start moving forward, you know, look at some of these milepost markers and say, okay, are we meeting them? And start maybe having to adjust our course as we get there. So embrace transformation. Evaluate the effectiveness of everything. Establish key milestones. Eliminate is the fourth one. Eliminate anything that becomes dead weight. Any event or program that is ineffective. If we're doing something and it's not working, then let's get rid of it. That way we free ourselves up to do the things that are working. Embrace, evaluate, establish, eliminate, and then engage. The fifth thing is to engage. Engage our culture with our distinctive message. And let's get back to what that distinctive message was. It's not about this. It is the kingdom of God, and let's be about making disciples. Who we are, what we do, and how we believe, and moving that. As we do that, then God will continue to bless, and will continue to grow, and continue to move forward, and then we can adjust course, and we will not go off the edge of the cliff. And we will continue to be after 20 or 30 years. I personally do not know how all that takes place. I know what God has called me to do and tells me to do. And when I'm in the bounce house jumping with kids or I'm in the youth with the worship, that's what God calls me to do. And saying, God may be giving you something different. Kelly, you're not going to be talking to all those tattooed people out there and the gangs and things, but you do have a calling that God has given you. And do that. And Melanie and Jason, you all have things that God can get you to do. And my job then is to help empower you to do whatever it is God calls you to do, and I'll do it along with you in these things. When I'm up on a roof, and I'm roofing, I know you all can't be up there with me, but some of you went around the neighborhood, and you were doing, if you want to call it a simple task of picking up garbage, or pushing a lawnmower, or even just talking with people. I'm not good at talking to people. I really am not. I hide from them. I hide from them by getting in a bounce house with kids, okay? But I do. I'm honest with you about it. I really struggle. When we go to these ministers' meetings, I'm not associating and talking with all these pastors. I sit there and hide from them. I'm not good at talking with people. Some of you are really, really good at it. So let's embrace transformation. Evaluate everything we do. Establish milestones along the way. Eliminate the things that don't work, and then engage our culture, whatever it takes.